good morning. It's Tess Lucy with you till 12. And joining me in the studio this morning, Father Andrew. Good morning. So to start with, we'll talk about the St. Matthew's 150th birthday.
Yes.
You were in earlier this year talking about that. So you've had lots of celebrations going on this year. How has it been going?
Oh, it's been brilliant. It's been a year of sort of one-off events, really. We had a history day where we had displays on the life of the church going right back to where it began in 1866 and going right through today. And we had a Victorian playground outside with imagining how it would have been for children 150 years ago coming to their playtime in what was, of course, St. Matthew's School in those days, right next to the church. And that was good because then we had different schools come and do performances in church as well. So that was good. Then in July, we had a Sunday fun day. So we didn't have our worship in St. Matthew's Church. We had it on the school playing field together with bouncy castles, face painting and arena events of bands playing and people dancing and everything. And it was surprisingly successful. And I say that because on the morning it tipped down with rain. And it's the first time I've ever conducted a service in a hoodie and with the rain falling down. But we reckon, you know, in the afternoon, a couple of hundred people came along and it was all free except for the sort of face painting side of things. So we're going to do it again bigger and better next year, 16th of July 2017. Ooh. And working hopefully in conjunction with St. Matthew's School. We've got a newly formed PTA group and we're going to see if we can do some work with them. Then I suppose, you know, for the church itself, the great moment was inviting Rowan Williams, who was the former Archbishop of Canterbury, who came along and led our Sunday morning service. And people often think he's a bit of a, you know, head in the clouds sort of guy, but he's not. He was so down to earth and really made everyone feel affirmed in their faith. And, you know, he was just lovely the way he mixed with people and spoke at their level. So that was good. And then one of the final things we had was a 1960s disco. We couldn't do an 1860s disco. Who wants such a thing? But we had a wonderful, you know, 60s disco night. So, as well as inviting back all sorts of people who have had links with the church in the past. So it's felt like a real good focus of everything that St. Matthew's Church tries to be in its local community. It was really, really been a good year.
You've had a very busy year.
Certainly have,
And still a very busy time.
Oh, absolutely, yes.
So when we spoke in the summer, you were telling me about the fund for the church tower.
Yes.
Now, how is this coming along and can people still donate?
Oh, absolutely. So our tower, which of course is built 150 years ago, made of Reigate stone, and it's beginning to crumble, basically. And you can't see anything from the outside, but inside there are signs of it crumbling. And over the next 10 years, we need to do quite a lot of repair work. So what we want to do is try and do it all next year so that we only have to pay once for the scaffolding, basically. That's going to cost us about $90,000, and we're about 10,000 short, which has been a great effort because these are not easy times, and people often will donate towards something where they can see the result. But to continue to prop up a tower maybe isn't is not sexy fundraising, as they say. So people have been really generous, and yes, people can still help us. We really need to do this work in the spring next year, and if people there in our church, we've got some special gift aid envelopes, or people can send through to the church a check payable and to St. Matthew's PCC, and that will help us get everything done in the early part of next year. So it's good.
Brilliant. Okay. And I understand you were also telling me about a book that's been written about the life of St. Matthew's Church. Are you able to tell me about this?
Yeah. So when you go into little churches, you see little history books, don't you, and come and buy the history, and it's perhaps a few pages of A4 stapled together. So what we decided, a chap in our congregation, Ian McMillan, has written a completely fresh history of the church with colour photos and tracing the history through the vicars who have been vicars of the parish.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful read, actually. It's about getting on for 100 pages.
Wow.
It's £6 a copy. And what it does, it goes right back to the days when really Redhill was just a bit of marshland. Mm-hmm. There was nothing here. And then the coming of the railway. And actually, Tess, I don't know if I told you this before, we managed to get some sponsorship towards the cost of the book from Southern Railway.
Oh, right.
So they're not the most popular network at the moment, are they, with their strikes? but they've been very helpful to us. And so if you buy a copy of our history, there's the Southern Railway logo on it, because the railway was part of the reason why the church was built. So the railway and the church have been combined together. But no, it's been the history has been really good, and we hope that it will stay in place for, you know, a good many years now. And of that 150 years, I'm only the 11th vicar, which surprises me, because often you hear vicars coming and going. But the first two vicars, Reverend Henry Brass and George Daniel, they stayed about, I don't know, 40 years between them. So it's only really in the 1990s and 2000s that people have come and gone with a bit more regularity. But I'm set to try and break their record, because I've been there 10 years now. So I've got a bit of a way to go till I reach up to Henry Brass's figure. So that's good.
Well, I guess people come and go. They move around for family and other reasons as
Yeah,
well.
We live in a much more mobile society now, don't we? So I guess vicars do come and go from places. So now, to be somewhere for 10 years, that's quite unusual. You know, people tend to stay about 6 or 7, but I'm very happy. I enjoy being Vicar of St Matthew's.
Well, we enjoy having you in our community as well.
Thank you.
So we're just under 2 weeks until the big day, of course, until Christmas. Would you say that Christmas is your busiest time of year within the church?
Well, like this week is, because you're actually getting everything ready for all the services that are going to happen. So there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes getting ready for all our big services, schools preparing to come for their carol services, decorating the church. We're out doing carol singing a bit this week.
Ooh,
as
lovely.
Well. Tomorrow night we're joining forces with Red Hill Baptist Church, and we're doing carol singing on the Cromwell Estate. And there's going to be a torchlight procession, and it's going to be great. So if you're on the Cromwell Estate in Red Hill, do look out for us. Then on the following night, on Wednesday, well, we're due to be carol singing in the subway of Red Hill Station, which is great. We really sound like a cathedral choir, like King's College,
well,
actually.
Well, the acoustics, I guess, there as well. At least you won't get wet if it rains.
No, but the problem is there going to be any trains? Because that's one of the strike days, Wednesday.
Oops.
So at the moment, we've got about 40 of us coming to sing. So at the moment, I'm sort of waiting to see, hoping and praying the strike might get called off, and then we can sing. But if there's going to be no trains, that could be a bit of a problem.
Well,
so
we'll
see. But if people are coming by train on Wednesday, going through Red Hill, then you'll probably see us down in the subway from 6 o'clock. So that's good.
Now, something I've been reading about, research shows that when Christmas is mentioned, spending time with family and even having an extended public holiday seem to come higher up on the list than going to church. How does this affect your church?
Well, you think back to when I was first a vicar, you know, and or when I was a child and going to church, there wouldn't be anything else much to do, and people would come to church in massive great numbers. That isn't the case anymore. But having said that, Christmas services are very, very well attended, but they tend to be attended by like all the people who would count themselves as members of the church. We don't get, particularly at St Matthew's, we don't get so many occasional worshippers anymore. Most of the people that come to our Christmas services, you know, I would know by name, because I've seen them around the place. But you're right, Christmas becomes, I think, for everybody, such a busy time that, you know, you say, would you like your child to be in the crib service? And people say, well, I'd love to, but actually we're going away, or actually we're doing this, that, or the other. So it's very difficult for church always to compete with everything that's going on. And then when you get to Christmas, everyone seems to be so exhausted anyway, they just sort of flop down, you know. Having said all that, I reckon that in December, at our various services, schools, organisations, we get about 2,000 people through the door.
2,000.
If you add all the all the services together, it would be about that number. So in a way, people just come to church in all sorts of ways. When we have one of our school, St Matthew's School carol services, I mean, we have 700 people in church for that.
Well, yes,
it's huge numbers.
Course.
So I guess people spread their involvement out a bit, and they will come to one or two things, but maybe not to all, as they might have done in the past.
Yeah. I was thinking about this last night, and I was thinking how maybe times have changed, especially over the last 40 or 50 years. Like you said, the shops used to be closed on a Sunday. I remember when that happened, and people were up in arms about it. And like you said, it was the done thing that you went to church on a Sunday and then you had family day. And with the shops being open now, it's up to about 5-6 o'clock, even on Christmas Eve. It's... Well,
yeah. And you know, I mean, I've got no objection to shops being open and people going shopping. I don't have a sort of a pious objection to that, but I do know that that has been, I think, the single biggest reason for decline in church attendance, because people just have to work. People have to work on a Sunday now,
of course.
And it becomes. Like an ordinary day. And if you've got a family and you're going to visit family away from home, or if your children are in football clubs or ballet or drama and those things happen on Sundays, you know, the church can't just stand still and say, oh, well, we're just here at this time. So that's why we try to have a variety of opportunities for people so that people can come when they can. But, I think years ago when there was all up in arms about... Sunday trading, it has changed the way of our society quite a bit. Whether you have a Christian faith view on that or not, I think it means that we don't have that time when we all just take a day's rest. You know, the 24/7 is the world in which we live, isn't it, really?
Well, yes, yeah. I guess even a church has to move with the times.
Absolutely. One thing I'm doing is just starting today is Facebook. We've got St. Matthew's Facebook page, and I'm doing a daily reflection on it. So there's a picture of somewhere around Redhill, and then I just write a paragraph or so, just with like a daily reflection that people can key into. And I did that at Easter, and quite a lot of people signed up and shared with friends. So actually, like it or not, my biggest congregation at Christmas is probably going to be my Facebook page. Because it doesn't take, you know, if one person shares what they read and then they share it. Before you know where you are, you've reached many, many people. So so that's something that, again, a new thing that I think the church will has to embrace in the future, whether we like it or not, to reach more people.
Something we don't think about, some people... You know, we're rushing around with Christmas and all the festivities, getting the cards, getting the presents, but we don't think about some people who are less fortunate than ourselves. Now, I understand, St. Matthew's, you do run a night shelter.
We work with other churches to provide overnight accommodation from actually this Wednesday right through to the beginning of March. And at St. Matthew's, that... accommodation is every Sunday evening. So basically we take people on referral, so you can't just pitch up, you have to be referred by another agency. But we have room for 15 people each night, and they would come in and enjoy an evening meal. And these would be people who would otherwise be out in the cold, otherwise have nowhere to go at all. And this is the only night shelter in the area, so it's really important. And they obviously have a good bed for the night, and then in the morning a nice breakfast before we finish at about 8 o'clock in the morning. So for churches and others to run that, we need lots of volunteers. I think we probably... aiming on a group of about 400 volunteers to get all that sorted out.
Yes.
So the night shelter goes from place to place, but those who we are welcoming as guests, they get to know where each place is each night.
Mm-hmm.
We even provide transport where it's a little bit out of town if needed. So that's been a really good way. And again, we're always keen to hear from people who might like to be involved as volunteers. A bit late this year now because we do training sessions and that is all gone. But, you know, if anyone's sitting listening to this thinking, I really would like to find out more, then, you know, by all means get in touch on my email and I can put that through. So is that all right to give that out to people? Yeah. So if people did want to find out more about the Winter Night Shelter or the food bank, go on our website and click on to me and then it'll come. Or if you haven't got that, it's andrew@stmatthews-redhill.org.uk. And it's also busy with our food bank, of course.
I imagine. Are you getting in extra food for Christmas parcels?
We try and do that. So at the moment, and people are being so generous. I mean, I'm getting lots of calls from people saying we'd like to contribute something to the food bank. How can we help with that? And it's funny, the things that we don't need baked beans, we don't need tinned tomatoes, we don't need mince pies, we don't need pasta, but we're always needing things like nappies, shampoo, cream crackers, some sort of tuna fish sometimes, things like that. So the sort of peanut butter is another thing that people... So it's worth, if people want to think, I'd like to give something to the food bank, it's always worth making contact so that we can say, yeah, this is actually what we need. And also, when people have been kind enough to make donations cash-wise, we will help people with gas and electricity top-ups. So money that's given, we will try and use for gas and electricity top-ups. But the food bank is open 12 till 2, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Again, you know, it's for emergency situations, but on a busy day, we could, in those 2 hours, we could be welcoming people from 20 families. So people think that, you know, food bank situations is just up in the inner city, or that it's not as bad as you think. Want to come and hear the stories of people that are using our facility. It's a great need, really. So so it's my opportunity to thank people who have contributed to the food bank, and that will be going on through the Christmas period as well.
Indeed, it doesn't stop, does it, really?
No, it doesn't,
unfortunately.
Actually.
It is, when you think about it, in this day and age as well, to think of someone homeless or in need of that, it's...
We don't feel sometimes that that's happening, but it is. And situations where people are still struggling on the benefits they get and all the changes in benefits that happen, which mean that people can be in this sort of limbo situation for some weeks, sometime, and just don't know how in that time to make ends meet. Well, at least we can help with food. That's something we can do.
Well, it's lovely as always to talk to you, Father Andrew, but we are running short of time. But just finally, have you got a special Christmas message?
Well, all I was going to say was, I think, I don't know, when we look back on this year 2016, it's not been an easy year, has it?
No.
In many ways, you know, we think about all the political wrangling, and sometimes we don't feel safe on our streets. We wonder what the future holds. And we've been talking about people who are homeless, and we wonder how sometimes we can keep afloat. So I suppose for this Christmas time, the danger is that we just end up being twice as busy, you know, as you've said, and people said to me, what's your busy time of year? And it is. And we get caught up into this hive of activity that never ends, and we end up just exhausted. Christmas just makes us exhausted. So I think what I'm just saying is that I hope that everybody listening will find over Christmas that there will be that place where you feel grounded, safe, secure and loved, and that you'll be able to sit in that space and rest in that space and recharge your batteries for the new year.
Indeed.
And one of the great things about the Christmas story is, of course, Jesus coming down to earth to be God for us as a human being. And so it's like he enters our mess. He's part of our difficulties. He's part of our celebrations. And so that when we take time to rest and time to reflect and time to be in the company of loved ones, let's just take a time to think, yeah, I can imagine and I can believe that maybe God is in that with me. And that would be my message to everyone today, I think, Tess.
Well, thank you very much. And thank you for popping into the Susie studio. And may I take this opportunity to wish you a Merry Christmas and a peaceful New Year.
And me to all your listeners, Tess. And it's lovely to come always and chat to you.
Father Andrew from St Matthew's Redhill. This is Susie Radio.